I think we could sing a few more and head to the house and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. It's been good. What a blessing. What a blessing. Wanted to read a thank you card we got from the missionary. If you went to the couples event, the sweetheart banquet, whatever you wanted to call it, the missionary that spoke there wrote us a note. He said, Pastor Tripp and Welcome Baptist Church, I wanted to thank you for having me speak at the couples banquet. I really enjoyed the spirit and fellowship and was humbled by both the opportunity to minister and by your generosity. May God make his face shine upon Welcome Baptist Church. Chris Morales for Israel, 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and 14. If you were there, it was a blessing. Amen. He's a missionary to Israel, and you pray for him. I'm going to try to get in contact with him, find out when he's back stateside again, and I'd love to have him come speak to you. Amen. Amen. So you be in prayer for him and his family. He's just now put his daughter in school locally. She's going into nursing, so I know that's probably, especially for Mama back over in Israel, that's a little bit of a emotional, anxious moment. So you pray for them as they take that step, but I pray the Lord will just bless them. Amen. Pray for Miss McIntosh. She's not well this morning in the hospital at B North. And continue to pray for Miss Francis. She's doing a little bit better, but still not 100% yet. Amen. So you pray for Miss Francis as she's dealing with the oxygen and with her knees and everything. So the Lord just touch her this morning. Amen. Well, are you glad you saved this morning? I'm glad I know who he is. I'm glad he knows who I am. And I'm glad I have the Word of God. Amen. Turn to Ephesians this morning, if you would, please. Ephesians. Visitors, I'm glad you're here this morning. We appreciate you coming. As I always say, if you need anything, please let us know. Let's look around. We'll do everything we can to help you out if you need to know where something's at. But the biggest thing is if you know who Jesus is. And that's, we hope you know this morning. Before we read this morning, kind of want to give you a little bit of an introduction to the thought the Lord has put in my heart. When you look at Ephesians chapter number 5, as we had looked not long ago when we were going through Sunday night series on marriage, we used Ephesians 5 as a springboard to a lot of verses here talking about the relationship between a husband and a wife, how that relates to the church. But I believe we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, but just to have the understanding, in Ephesians chapter number 5, I believe Paul is giving to us, and he's allowing us to see kind of like what I want to present today. As it's almost like a blueprint. Everybody knows what a blueprint is? Anybody here not know what a blueprint is? I guess everybody knows what a blueprint is. A blueprint basically is something that a company will use if they produce or manufacture something. It is a drawing. These days, most of the time, it's on a CAD drawing in a computer. And basically, they use that drawing. You wonder maybe how, you know, every car company can produce the same vehicle. Everything's the same on it. Everything looks the same. Everything. If you had to hand do that, that would be very difficult. But the only reason they can produce things that are exactly the same over and over and over and over and over again is because somebody made a blueprint of the very first one. Right? Because if I told you to just go out and make a Model T, and you just had to do it from memory, it probably wouldn't look like a Model T. What I believe Paul is showing us, and through the Word of God the Lord is giving to us, if you were to go back in Ephesians chapter number 5, where Paul just is encouraging us in verse 14, he just uses these words, and I want to start here and then go over to chapter 6. But he says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Now what does he mean by Christ giving us light? A lot of times we hear that and we just think of a light bulb. You know, it's like,
oh, God's just going to give me light. No, what that has a grand, vast meaning. Is that if we will wake up out of our spiritual slumber, the Lord will give us light, the blueprint, the design of what He desires to see. First of all, He shows us He desires to see a good relationship between a husband and a wife. It's the first thing He dealt with there. He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak about the church. What He wants us to understand is this. There's two things about a marriage relationship. It is supposed to show the world what the love of Christ looks like. Amen? And marriages reflect on the church. They have a reflection of Christ on the church. So in order for us to have a good church, guess what? We got to have good marriages. You say, preacher, why do you talk about it? Well, if we don't have good marriages and we don't have good families, we don't have a good church. Okay, just for instance, if you started seeing the people that made, I'm just pulling this out of the hat just to use them because I can't use everybody. I'm just going to say a Hyundai, okay? If you started seeing them going to the scrapyard to get all the pieces to put the cars together, and they were welding up or trying to weld up parts that were all rusted and corroded and muddy and grimy and putting them all together and then trying to paint over top of it and make it look nice, how many of you would be likely to go down to the Hyundai dealership and buy a Hyundai car? If you had that knowledge, how many of you would go buy one? Y'all are saying, ain't no way. Okay? But how many times do we bring our marriages into churches? We bring the pieces, and we bring all the, and we paint it over and try to make it look real pretty. We try to make it look real pretty. The people outside are going, yeah, I saw them on the way to church. I saw them last week in the grocery store. And they're not buying it. Does that make sense? So how do we wake up out of this sleep and get the light? We get that blueprint. We get that design. Okay, what does God see as the design? He said, okay, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. That is a very plain, simple, I know how He loved me. I know how He loved the church. So therefore, I know how to love my wife. That's part of the blueprint. On a blueprint, a lot of times we'll have a blow up of an area. You got a detail. They call it a detail. Well, here's a detail. Men, here's how to love your wives as Christ loved the church. Okay? So what I'm trying to get you to understand is He has given us light. He has said, here it is. Here are the details. We've looked a lot about the husband and wife relationship before. We're not going to dig into that, but I want to show you, if we want to follow the blueprint that He has laid before us, and you want to have, and I don't want to use the word successful because people use that in so many wrong ways today, but if you want, in the eyes of God, to have the design of a home and a church and a marriage and a family, and even He's talking, and we'll get into workers and bosses and all that. We're going to look at Him in chapter number 6. If you want to have the right design, He's saying, here it is. Here it is. And this morning He's directing me to go to Ephesians chapter number 6 and begin in verse number 1. But you've got to attach the fact that we've already talked about husbands and wives. We see the detail. Here's the detail on husbands and wives. If you need to go back and look at that, that's from verse number 21 all the way down to verse number 33. It goes from the husband to the wife, from the wife to the husband, from the husband to the wife. From, you know, it's balanced, very balanced there. Yeah, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands and to the Lord. Husband, love your wives. So He gives great detail for both sides in a marriage. Okay? Chapter 6, verse 1 says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Let me clarify something. There's a reason, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Because I guarantee you there's some young people or there's some adults who had parents who weren't in the Lord. If your parent told you to go kill somebody, that's not in the Lord. If your parent told you to go take some drugs, that's not in the Lord. Let me tell you something here right now. You are to obey them in the Lord. Okay? I wasn't even going to jump into this basket, but the Lord's kind of pushing me over this way. I just want to help some of you to understand you obey God rather than man. Going for a parent, going for a peer, somebody who is a friend. Well, so-and-so told me it would be okay. Yeah, but God said no. So, you're saying, well, preacher, you're giving me a right to rebel against my parents. No, I'm not doing that. But I would say this. If your parent ever asked you to do something that goes against the Word of God, I would take the Word of God. And I would say, Dad, he told me not to be drunk with wine where it is excess, but to be filled with the Spirit. So you're asking me to go directly against God in heaven. And I'm going to have to say no. Okay? So I want you to have that understanding, because some children, you know, it's a sad state of affairs when we have to come to this. But I'm telling you what, there are so many fatherless homes in this country. And it's, I have to be careful because I get in the flesh when I talk about it. The caliber of men that we have in our country today is a sad state of affairs. Sad state of affairs. So children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, if you're here, and most of you are here, children, and you have a dad that loves God, I didn't say he was perfect. Because you know what? Your daddy's got problems like everybody's got problems. Your daddy makes mistakes like everybody makes mistakes. Amen, daddies? But let me tell you this. You are to obey them in the Lord, for this is right. Okay? That is a command from God to obey your parents in the Lord. This is part of the blueprint. So children, this is your detail. It's kicked off to the side, little blow up here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You want to turn out the way God wants you to turn out? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Even when it doesn't sound right, even when you think you got a better idea or a better way, he said, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, then you have the debate. Well, at what point is a child not a child? I'm like, are you kidding me? That's a whole nother discussion. Even after, okay, I know you shouldn't, I don't hang around, my dad doesn't call me and tell me everything to do and what to do, okay? That's not what I'm saying. I still take advice, and that's where honoring comes in. We're going to look at that next. But children, learn to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Because here's the thing. It's not an age. This is the problem. In our country, we put it at an age where a young man can really make his own decisions. That is not true. In the Word of God, you will find young men 8 years old, 12 years old, that were able to make decisions, but it wasn't because of their age, it was because of their maturity and their willingness to listen to God. Here's the problem we have in our culture. Young man, young woman turns 18 years old. Well, I can't do anything anymore. If he's living in my house, eating my food, I'm paying the bills, he's doing what I'm saying. Prove me wrong. Word of God. If he's not mature enough, amen, he's going to listen. Anyway. I know this is not politically correct this morning. But I'm just going to tell you something. We've gotten away from raising our sons, and we're going to get to where the real problem is. But sons and daughters, when you become mature enough to make good decisions, I'm going to look at you if you're 16 and say, well, what do you think? And they might be like, did I hear you right, Dad? Yeah, I want to know how you feel about it. What decision do you want to make? Okay? Being a father is not all about saying no and always. You get them to a point where you hopefully get them to where they think about God and what He says, and they think about, okay, I've been taught this and that, and they can make a decision. But the problem is we want to make every decision for them until they're 18 and say, okay, here it is. And you've never asked them their opinion or even heard their opinion on anything else. And then you're surprised when they're able to make their own. And you go, oh my word, did he grow up in my house? Well, yeah. But children, learn this. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I would tell you this, if you've got friends that disrespect their parents and their parents are good people trying to raise them in the right way, you encourage them, you provoke them to good works, and you say, you know what, you shouldn't treat your mama like that. You might, well, lose my friends. So what? You don't need them if they won't respect their parents. Like, hey, don't talk. The only fight I ever got into, and yeah, don't, I'm not, young boys, do not take this at home and say, well, the preacher said I could do it. No. The only fight I ever got into as a young person, as a little kid, I was about 8, 9 years old, is one of my buddies came over to play, and he backtalked my mama. And I got in a fight. I said, buddy, you ain't talking to my mama like that. But that's the issue. We don't. Young people want to peer all together and click together. Yeah, my mama does the same thing. No, don't diss your mama in front of all your bros. Don't be that kind of person. But that's where we're at in culture. Be able to stand up, have a backbone, look them in the face, say no. Don't disrespect your mother. But that's the problem. Everybody wants, well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Well, I'm sorry. They're going to hurt somebody else's feelings down the road because they have no respect for anybody. Verse number 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. He said it's not the first commandment, but it is the first commandment with promise. What is the promise? We get all these other promises, but what is the promise of honoring and your father and mother? He said, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You know what? This is the funniest thing about young people. I just don't, and I had to, you know, growing up, it's like you go through this period of time when your brain slips out your ear in the middle of the night, and you don't find it for 4 years. Any parents want to say amen there? They've left it under the pillow or something. It just oozed out of their... But this is the thing. The Bible says if you want your life to be well, that means if you want things to go well for you and you want to live a long life... How many young people want to live a long life? I don't think any of you are going, yeah, I'll give it up next year. It's over. No, how many of you want to live? He said, okay, honor your father and your mother. I want to be a success. I'm going to go do this and go to... No, he said, honor your father and your mother. It'll be well with you. And you'll live long on this earth. That's what the Bible says. That's the blueprint. If you want this vehicle, per se, to live a long life, to take you 200,000 miles... to give you good gas mileage, honor your father and mother. Y'all can think what you want. I think some people, and I'm not saying everybody, don't look at me wrong this morning. There are some people, though, that have a lot of hardships in life because they gave their parents such a stinking hard time while they were growing up. Because I have to look at the flip side of this. If I don't honor my father and mother, that means things are not going to be well with me and I'm not going to live a very long life. So this is, it's really a simple thing, young person. Really, it's simple. Honor, what does that mean? Respect your parents. Take care of your parents. Amen. Even after you get out on your own, they took care of you for however many years. You know, look to their needs. Respect them. Respect what they love. Respect that, you know, bringing them honor and respect, and respect them in front of your children. Yeah, they've got problems. Your parents weren't perfect. But you need to make sure your children also respect who they are. But that's a simple thing. He says, hey, if you want this vehicle to go a long way and it to be well with you, honor your mom and dad. Honor your mom and dad. Verse number 4. And ye, what's that next word? He did not include the mother. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Number 1. The problem in our culture today is men want to leave all the teaching and training to the mama. And the Bible puts it on the man. You say, well, I work a full-time job. So what? You're supposed to work. But you're supposed to lay out the plan of how to nurture and admonish your children. Amen? You are supposed to be the one in charge of that. You are supposed to be the one overseeing that. You're supposed to be the one when you get home from work, you go to mommy and say, okay, mama, did we have any issues today? How many times have I ever asked you that question? All the time. Why? Because I'm concerned about the outcome of my children. And I say, okay, what are the issues? What's happening in the house today? And sometimes I can tell when I walk in the door. I don't even have to ask the question. I say, okay, mommy, you just going back to your room? Sit the kids down. Give it to me. What happened? That's my responsibility. Not hers. Amen. That is me. I'm responsible for how they are nurtured and admonished and all that. That is on me. That is fathers. And you say, well, what do you do with that first phrase? Provoke not your children to wrath. A lot of people take that to mean a lot of different things. I believe this is one of the main things it means. One of the things that makes us madder than anybody is if somebody tells you to do something and you have to abide by something, but they don't abide by it themselves, that makes me madder than a wet hen. That's what makes me mad about government. Ain't that right?
Well, you got to live by these laws, but here's the laws we get to live by.
Amen? There's too many daddies in this world telling their kids, don't do this, don't do that, and they're living a whole nother life. That brings wrath to a child. How dare he tell me that's what I need to be doing? Right? I think that's the biggest thing. It's not the fact, yeah, we can provoke them in a lot of ways, but provoking them to wrath is a lot of times telling them, yeah, you don't need to be doing that. You will go, and I've said this many times, you will go and talk to your wife like she ain't worth 2 cents, and then you get all over them for talking to her backwards. They will not be happy about that. Am I right? If they hear you disrespecting her, why should they? That provokes your children to wrath. If you treat other people wrong, but yet if they turn an eye and make one little remark and you jump all down their throat and you're doing the same, they're going to get upset. I'm telling you, you're provoking them to wrath. Amen. Mama, same thing. They will do as you do, not as you say. Make sure we are being the example. Make sure we're putting that forth. Verse number 5, servants. That's anybody that is employed by someone else. That's what that word means. You are working for someone else. Be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. So he gives us instruction. Okay, here's another detail. Here's a detail of anybody who has a job. We are to be obedient to them that are our masters, those who employ us. Okay? Sometimes that can be very difficult because the Bible explains in some situations that there is a master who is not very kind to his servants. You ever worked for somebody like that? I've been there, okay? You can work for somebody who really don't care about you. They just care about them and the company and whatever. And that's very hard to obey. But there's no exceptions. We are to be that servant who, in singleness of heart, obeys our masters. Men, we lead by example. We must allow our children to understand, yes, we might have problems at work, and that might spill over into the home, but you need to always let them understand there is a respect level, and you do obey them, and you do what you're told. It's not a matter of never having a problem at work. I'm not saying that. They need to learn that you have to strive through. I mean, you work with people, you're going to run into problems. But letting them know they are your master. They're over you. And anytime they are put in a position, this is the problem in our country today. Sometimes, you know, we let our children go get a job, and the first time the manager's hard on them, they come crying. You want to go to wherever they're employed and poke somebody's eyes out. I'm not kidding. One of the biggest problems teachers deal with in schools today. You know what I've heard from many, and I know many that are in the public school system especially, but not even in public school, even in the Christian schools. The biggest problem they come up with when they have to administer discipline to a child, the parent is, boom.
How dare you tell my Sally, blah, 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 blah.
Well, what are you teaching that child? Not to respect their teacher. My daddy didn't even ask questions. If my teacher put an F on my, he didn't go in there and ask what happened and if I was emotionally involved. No. I dealt with it at home. If I got a paddling at school, I got another one at the house. Y'all are like, what's a paddling at school? My principal had one, I ain't kidding, 4 foot long. Big old paddle. If I got it, I got it at the house. And my dad didn't even call, didn't ask, nothing. You were just taught to respect those who were over you. But we got too many trying to, you know, run to the aid of their children if they're shedding a tear. Oh my goodness. No, that's what builds character. Amen. Teach them to respect authority. And now I know there's people out there abusing authority. I get that. But normally, school teachers, they're not there for the money. Right? Some of y'all probably don't even know what a school teacher makes, but it's pretty sad. I think that's what's sad with our country. We got school teachers making what they're making and police officers making what they're making and then ball players making what they're making. Doesn't make a lick of sense. But it just shows you where our priorities are in our country. Amen, hallelujah. Firefighters ought to make a whole lot better than they do, but that's just where we're at in our country. But what I'm trying to say is they need to understand there is a respect level. We are to obey our teachers. If we're sent to school, you're to respect that lady no matter what. She's here to give you an education. So anyway, we teach them not to respect anybody. And one thing that drives me crazy, and I know not every policeman is correct and not every policeman's out there, but let me tell you this. If you talk bad about policemen, you create in your child a disrespect where they will never respect the laws of the land. I cannot stand when guys talk and make fun of policemen. You know what? He might be the one, and I've said this here before, he might be the one that comes through your door when somebody's there to shoot you and puts his life on the line. So leave him alone, is what I say. Amen? Yeah, there's some out there that, I'm not saying they're not all out there doing the right thing, but let me tell you this, we need to let them know that's a respectful position. When you see them out, shake their hand. I mean, I'm not trying to show that, but I was just taught that. It's just in my being. I just had to go down on a trip and fly out, and I was sitting in a restaurant eating some food, and six of them walked in and sat down right beside me. Before I left, got done with my food, I stood up, shook every one of them's hands, and said, hey, I appreciate what you do every day. They almost fell out of their chairs. Because people aren't taught to respect what they do. Don't create in your child that well, I can go against anybody and mama's got my back. But that's how they feel. Am I right? I knew as a child if I went up against anybody, Daddy had my back, but it wasn't like that. Here's verse number 6. This is the message. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. I've said this many times, I'll say it many more times. We are concerned more about our reputation in our homes and as our families as we are about pleasing God. What do I mean by that? We go to great lengths to make everybody else think that we're okay. Think about it. You go to great lengths to make your neighbor think you're okay. You go to great lengths to make everybody in this church think you're okay. Think about it. How much do we do for eye service? Eye service, eye service, eye service. We do what we do for everybody else, not him. And we instill that in our children to know how to say the right things. That's one of the biggest things we know. That's one of the things I tell my children early on, as soon as they're able to understand. I don't want to hear just words coming out of your mouth because you know that's what I want to hear. No, I can deal with the truth. But I just, don't just give me an earful of information that you know I want to hear. No, that's the problem today. Tell people the truth. Teach them how to tell people the truth. And deal with truth, not just pleasing men and doing making everybody feel like everything. No, that's the problem. We don't need to get into a situation where all we do is to keep everybody feeling like everything's okay. You need to be able to come in. And like I said, you have to have use some discretion in who is very close to you and who is your close friend. But you need somebody to be able to walk to at church and be like, you know what? This week has been terrible. This is falling apart. This is going on. I need some prayer. I need some help. That's the problem. We try to cover it up, paint it all, make sure it's good, and then it goes down the road and falls apart because we haven't asked for any help. That's why our children don't. I mean, they're putting children on anxiety medicine today at young ages. Why? Because we're teaching them to hide it all inside. Don't ever share any that you got any problems with anything. No. We are responsible for that. As moms and dads, we are the ones that are supposed to build them up and make them strong. Children with strong characters, not pleasing man, but pleasing God. And then you'll get people that ask you, well, why do you do what you do? To please God. Because it doesn't make sense to them. Well, why do you do that? To please Him. Let me just tell you this. If nobody ever asks you why you do something, because to them it's kind of odd, I'd be checking what I'm doing. Because it's probably what everybody else is doing. If you raise your kids the same way everybody else does, why do you do that with your kids? Why do you do it? It's to please Him. I ain't trying to please y'all. Amen? I'm trying to please Him. So we need to get back to that in our children. Teach them not to be men pleasers. Anyway, finally, in verse number 10, all the way down basically through the end of the chapter, he tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God. He's talking about two things there. What is basically, if you think about it in a vehicle situation, there's a lot of decision making that goes into what motor goes into each vehicle for each situation. He's just saying, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What is running your car? Is it simply the fact that I want everybody to think I'm okay or everybody to think I'm spiritual? And that's why I do the things that I do? Or am I running in the power of His might? And I'm just doing what I do for Him. And I'm doing what I do for Him. And because I do for Him, yeah, I'm going to do for other people, but it's not for other people to see. It's for Him. Amen? We're doing for each other because He loved us. He showed His love and He said, hey, if you do this for them, you're doing it to me. But we need to get out of that idea of what motivates you would be the best thing to put in your... What every morning, what motivates you to do what you do? What motivates me to be a good husband to my wife and be a good dad to my children? Is it the fact that I just want everybody looking at me saying, oh, he's such a good daddy? No, I want him to be pleased with me. But we got too many people, their motivation, their power comes just from what everybody thinks about them. That's a very dangerous place. That motor's not going to last long. And then secondly, he said, put on the whole armor of God. What are you protecting all that with? Because you've got an enemy. You know, they do extensive testing with vehicles, especially in colder environments. Would you realize, I mean, you ever think about it? You're going down the road, it's 15 below. That's just before the wind factor. They have to go into a lot of specifications and things and study out a lot of things for the type of metal and what could be used that can withstand all that expansion. And I mean, you got cars that are, you know, it's 100 in Ohio. It can be 100 one day and it can be 30 below the next. I mean, just giving you that's a little far drawn, but that's basically, you know what I'm saying. So what are you protecting? What are you using as protection for that plan? He said, put on the whole armor of God, because the devil is going to try to penetrate. He's going to try to tear apart. He's going to try to do everything he can to destroy you. So what are you encapsulating that with? What armor are you using? I hope it's the armor of God and not the armor of man. He's given us a blueprint. He's laid it out and he said, here it is. Wake up out of sleep. Wake up out of that just that complacent slumber of just trying to please everybody. Well, I'll go to church because if I don't, everybody else is going to call me and think that... Blah, 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 blah. No, don't go to church for that reason. Go to church for Him. Amen. Don't bake a cake and give it to somebody and put it on Instagram and Facebook so everybody can see it. So, oh, they're such a good people. Oh, bless their heart. You got so much of that today. Look at what I did. No, get away from that. Let another man praise thee and not thine own lips, the Bible says. Get away from that. Get back to please. Don't be a men pleaser. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for loving us the way you do. I thank you for your mercy and your grace that you give us each and every day. My prayer, Lord, is that I would look each and every day at the blueprint that you've laid out for me as a person, as a husband, as a dad, as a pastor. Help me to line up with what you have enlightened me on. Help me to live by the light that you've given me. And my prayer is that every family in this church building right now would take the idea of just pleasing men and throw it out the back window. You say, from this point forward, we're going to please God with what we do, with what we say, with how we act, with how we treat other people, with the blueprint God has given us. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed, as Brother Mark plays through a couple songs.